peace. Everyone is looking for it, but the only place you'll find true and lasting peace is right here in God's Word. Join us as we go back to God's Word on this edition of Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. And indeed, it is abounding grace that we seek and find here in God's Word. We would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, brings us back to God's Word that we might find that peace, that encouragement for the day, that challenge to follow hard after Christ. For this edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
It's Easter morning 2006, and there lurking in the shadows is a figure rarely seen in church. It's Superman. Yes, Superman. He who leaps tall buildings in a single bound, and he pursues evildoers. No, wait a minute. It's not him. Actually, it's only the senior pastor. The senior pastor all decked out as Superman, ready to communicate the gospel to a new generation. Superman, you see, is a Christ figure who is peculiarly adapted to conveying the Christian message to generations raised on Sesame Street cartoons and superhero action figures. So on this day, the pastor was poised to begin his instruction in a new series on how to leap over discouragement, overcome doubts, defeat odds, and rise from the ashes as Superman had on many occasions. That is, well, start to his book, and he goes on to critique that. Did this actually occur? Did it really happen? Yes, this incident, he says, actually happened in a church that received a Rick Warren Award for Church of the Year. My friends, that is a section out of Chapter 2, Christianity for Sale, in David Wells' new book, The Courage to be Protestant, Truth Lovers, Marketers, and Emergence in the Postmodern World. And that is the book that we are interacting with this week on Abounding Grace. So important for our day. I would encourage you to buy the book, to read the book. It is outlining here all the things that are going on, interacting with them, and providing a confessional Protestant view of how we ought to view these things. That is, the thing I just outlined is not so uncommon, where a pastor will try to make his message relevant in a series on Superman, his new series on how to leap over discouragement, overcome doubts, defeat odds, rise from the ashes as Superman had on many occasions. Recently heard in light of the Olympics that certain pastors were pulling out exercise equipment, getting on treadmills and giving their sermons on treadmills to teach you how to work out your faith. This is just common throughout this country. It is all over pulpits in this land. Well, there are no longer pulpits, but this is just common stuff. How are we to interact with it? Well, Wells here in Christianity for Sale, Chapter 2, begins this section by really, next section, by thank you, corporate America. This was a mass experiment we are seeing in how to do church differently to the new generations of people. Traditional church is like a product now rendered obsolete, he says. They're disregarding their customers, the old church, the old traditional churches. And so the mentality is that the customers rule. They are sovereign. And so they need to be relevant. We need to be relevant in what we do to meet their needs. And so the thinking is like a corporate CEO. Yesterday I referenced that there are all sorts of conferences and things that are held every year that all sorts of pastors flock to have some sort of formula for success. There's the pressure put on them that if they preach an old biblical message, some of these old doctrinal truths, that it's just not going to hold their people. They might leave. And so because the church down the road is doing something more innovative and exciting in this dog-eat-dog world, they got to keep up. And so they have all these conferences to help pastors be new and more innovative in what they do. 2000, there was an innovative, one-of-a-kind conference, Disney-proven approaches, was the conference theme. Strategies and techniques used at Disney World to ensure customer loyalty as church people and pastors flocked in to hear these Disney World techniques and strategies. Wells also records here that in 2001, the National Association of Evangelicals had a conference called Marketing 101, where they received marketing hints from corporate giants to take their churches to the, quote, next level, looking for spiritual experiences, not prepackaged dogma. We don't need that, is the thought. Church is the place where sermons shouldn't be boring, but uplifting, not preachy and condemning. Who wants to be condemned? Now that is just a pressure, isn't it? One of the things I have said on Abounding Grace, that if you come to the Linden United Reformed Church, you will feel uncomfortable about your sin. That is the whole message of Christianity, is that we are condemned sinners by nature, we are under the wrath of God, and that we need a Savior. And we can't strip away that message or it's no longer Christianity. But you see, when we are looking to how best to meet the felt needs of the people, no one's going to want to be condemned. So what you do is you strip yourself of the content and the core of the Christian faith. And thus, as Michael Horton and many have talked about, what we are faced with is the problem of a Christless Christianity. We are cut loose from the questions of truth. Now, what's interesting I found is that Wells records that in 1960, there were 16 mega churches. Today, 2005, mega churches, of course, are congregations with over 2,000. 2005, there are 1,210. In 2005, there were some with 20 to 30,000 in a church. So whatever's happened, there's been a rapid growth in the church. But we need to distinguish as well as between marketing mega churches. Some of these mega churches are concerned about doctrinal content, but the marketing mega churches are stripped, and this is how you know, they're stripped of all religious symbols. They want comfortable chairs. They focus on technology and the screen. The speaker speaks with pictures of mountains and brooks and lakes behind him. DVDs are often played because it's just thought that you got to hold the attention of the hearer. And so what they'll do to make the message, quote, effective is to turn down the lights, have a little clip or a DVD will be played, and then the pastor will give his little personal explanation or opinion on it. And so typically to this video generation, sports arenas are common now, as we know, are bought for church worship services, country clubs, I would add shopping centers, everything reconfigured for a new generation, becoming all things to all people. One of the things that I have questioned many of these pastors whom I've talked with who are doing this approach, and also others who are doing other things, is when does your form affect your content? Right? I mean, if you're trying to sell faith, you're not going to have much content to it. You're doing everything you can to make it nice and pretty and sound good. But the fact is you don't get to true faith apart from the bad news. You got to hear about your sin. You got to come and hear the law, which drags you through hell before you're lifted up and made alive in Christ. But the point is that the form does affect the content. You can't separate the two. And that's one question that Wells asks here, which is a very important one. But anyways, as he moves on here, sale, prices slashed is one of his next sections. We start with the customer. What does he want? We can't be serious. We've got to be funny and engageable and likable. It's kind of like he says, from Miller to Miller Lite, Christianity to Christianity Lite. A church that is serious will stand out, he says, like an organ stop. Of course, there are no longer organs. Replace the old-fashioned sermon with a personal chat from a bar stool, says Wells, right? I mean, that's just common today. The old-fashioned sermon needs to be replaced, the pulpit removed, and we can have a personal chat from the bar stool. There's no end to all these innovations. Some have graffiti walls today where you can express yourself, and Play-Doh, express what you're feeling. The churches today offer a choice. The more pleasant you can be, the customers choose what they want to hear from the bar stool up front. And so the pastors will survey the congregations. Years ago, there was the conviction, and this, of course, is a biblical one all throughout the Old Testament. The prophets had a burden put upon them from the Lord to speak His word, right? So the Lord puts upon His servant a burden in the heart to preach, what to preach and what particular portion of Scripture to preach and what the need is for the people as He prayerfully seeks that. Well, today, since we're meeting the needs of the people, since we are doing it for their joy and for all of their focus to be funny, engageable, and likable, well, we need to survey them. Survey of what they want so that they can dictate what I say from the bar stool. So, kind of like we've gone from records to CDs to iPods, where you can just delete now all the songs off a CD that you don't like, since we can so personalize everything, we've gone from the pulpit to the plexiglass to the bar stool. So why not in the church? Let me select what I want to hear, right? Worship should be customized, aiming to please like a buffet. This is all Wells's outline here, and it's very good. And the presupposition to all this, my friends, is people don't want to be preached at. No boring music, no hymns, of course. They come to be inspired, to be uplifted, with coffee in hand. They want to connect. Like a 5-star hotel, everything is focused now on the parking, the clean bathrooms, the signs. Should we really be so different than the world after all? That's a question that Wells poses. My friends, what have we done? What is going on? It's time to raise the ruckus and say enough is enough. Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach Christ and Him crucified. I did not come with the wisdom of this world declaring to you the message, right? No. I came in weakness and in foolishness, declaring to you this message that is able to save your souls, a bloody Savior, splinters and all, crucified on a cross, that all who believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That kind of preaching needs to be recovered.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us, 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.